All right. I call the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee meeting to order on April 18, 2024. There is a quorum present, so I will do the approval of minutes for April 16. Vice Chair Purcell, may I have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move the minutes from April 16, 2024.
Representative Purcell moves approval of minutes for April 16. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The minutes for April 16, 2024 are approved. Members, today we'll be making motions on the DE1 to the House File 3763. So the DE1 is before the committee, and the motion is to refer it to Ways and Means. But first, we do have amendments on the table. So I will move the first amendment, which is the author's amendment, the A1, to the DE. And members, this amendment, what it does is it removes the duck provisions, the waterfowl hatching bill, and the use of grain indemnity interest provisions. The removal of these bills or provisions doesn't mean that it's not good bills. I do think they do have merit and they are good ideas and good proposals. But I think now is not the time for these bills yet. And so I think there will be other opportunities to discuss these provisions in future legislative sessions. Any discussion to the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it and the A1 is adopted. The next amendment we have is the A3. I believe that is Representative Anderson. With the removal of, or with the after the A1 is adopted, would you like to withdraw your A3?
Yeah, if it follows your amendment, yes, I would.
Okay, Representative Anderson withdraws the A3 amendment. The next amendment that we have, All right, the next amendment is the A4. I believe this is Representative Nelson. To your A4, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Vang, and I would like to move the A4 amendment. And under the, I believe it's the soil health grant or whatever, there's a line in there talking about the, on 47.3, it's a not sell or rent equipment for economic gain. And this here would really, it would allow somebody that has this, you know, if there's a neighbor that maybe wants to try, try some soil health practices, be able to share equipment. I know bartering already is kind of allowed under the Department of Ag principles, but the Iowa State, their extension, they have a custom operation survey report that really kind of gives a range of practices that are done all the way from planting, harvesting, renting equipment and stuff. And this would allow a rental or a custom operation of that. Really, it figures out what the cost of the equipment is to do so. And so if there was trying to figure out even a bartering range, I think it would help in that. And it just kind of gives some little bit of parameters around it. I feel that it kind of cleans up kind of helps the language a little bit, in my opinion. And I would encourage its adoption.
All right. Discussion to the A4. Members, Representative Nelson, thank you for the A4 amendment. I think I'm definitely open to having more conversations about this. I definitely don't know what is the Iowa State University Extension custom rate survey report before, but as you told me, it's probably widely used by farmers, and so I'd be open to having more discussion. But I think with the Soil Health Financial Assistance Grant, farmers are able to purchase equipment using public dollars, and I think it's important that that farmers or individuals don't use it for personal profit. And so, you know, public dollars to purchase equipment, I think I want to encourage to allow public access to those equipment too. So I think that's important value when you do use these public dollars, that it is also accessible as much as possible to the community and to the public. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would support the Nelson Amendment because some of these pieces of equipment, like a script kill machine, for example, are extremely expensive. And I think there's a limit on the grant amount of $50,000. And so the farmer is going to have his own capital also invested in this equipment. And to say that he cannot rent that out to try to recover some of his cost, I think restricts the idea of the program a little bit too far. So because of the high cost of some of these pieces of equipment, I would support the Nelson Amendment.
Okay. Further discussion, Representative Federer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with you, Madam Chair, that I don't think that we can support this amendment. I can't support this amendment at the time, but one of the things, like in further to like developing it too, is if we are putting state dollars towards this equipment and you're looking to like work on this idea for the future, I guess I would be interested in having that conversation if there's a way then to repay that grant money then based off of it. But that would be work for a future year. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Further discussion, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm wondering if the department would like to comment on this. And I think too, the point of Representative Frederick, you know, the A-10 that I have coming up, it does kind of talk about repaying the grant. And I think the department is going to have some concerns with that, just in their ability to. We can have the discussion when that one comes up, but their ability to be able to track and monitor this. But I do think that it's a discussion that we need to have, and I think we can have. And what I'd like, you know, if the department would like to share, I'd appreciate that.
I recognize Pater. If you can identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Pater Chesson, Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I'd just say that regarding Representative Nelson's amendment here, I think the most important thing for the department and the program is just to ensure that folks can still lease this equipment. We see that as a common practice, and you know, it's also helps to attain the goal of getting more of these practices on the land. We are certainly more than willing to work with you, Madam Chair, and you, Representative Nelson, on how to clarify this language and just ensure that, you know, someone is not unduly profiting from a lease while at the same time has the ability to lease. I would just make one note, knowing that the language contained in your bill, Madam Chair, also is in the environment bill, we might want to try and align those two sets of provisions.
All right. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair. And I guess I would just, again, I would like to, you know, encourage a yes vote on this. I think it gives an opportunity to, you know, especially in leasing, you know, help recover some cost. There is a, you know, significant portion of, you know, individual capital that is involved in this too. And I you know, appreciate not wanting to profit off of public dollars. I appreciate that. And, you know, I probably didn't direct the A-10 to be written maybe as thoroughly as it could have been, but, you know, that does, you know, ask for a clawback on the grant if we're, but, you know, we're talking about the A-4 here, and I would appreciate a yes vote on it, but at the same time, with the department and with you, Chair Vang, I would like to continue working on this if possible.
Right. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just echo, I think, what some of my colleagues have said, that I love the idea of this, and I would love to have more time to dig into this farm custom rate survey and figure out how to make this achieve the goal that we all want, which is more of acres being planted in conservation practices and making it profitable for farmers and making sure we're guarding taxpayer dollars. So I'd be happy to continue the conversations, but I just feel like I can't vote right now for this as it is.
All right. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A4 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
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 The nays have it. The noes have it, and the A4 is not adopted. The next amendment we have is the A6. I believe this is Representative Anderson's bill. To your A6, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What the A6 does is appropriates a $100,000 sum to the county agricultural agents around the state. And again, all of us have had issues trying to come up with funding sources, and we have lowered the request from $1 million, which was last year's request, down to $100,000, and it would be taken from the appropriation that you had put in, Madam Chair, to the pollinator account. And I asked about that account in the hearing on Tuesday, asked if they had requested that funding, and not quite sure if they had or had not. But again, county ag inspectors do a wonderful job around the state. Their ask is very minimal, and there are 85, I believe, county ag inspectors in the 87 counties here in Minnesota, and do a variety of things, noxious weed control. They are important first lines of defense in those areas, and I think a $100,000 grant for 1 year, a one-time appropriation, would be appropriate, Madam Chair, and I would ask for support of this A6 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I know you and I talked briefly about the county ag inspectors funding when we met, and just seeing, as you know, our small budget this year, I decided to put it, you know, within areas that I think will have the most value of impact, and so. I definitely did consider it, and I appreciate your input and your contributions. But with the small amount of, from $1 million to just $100,000, I feel like it will be best spent elsewhere. And so I'll ask members to not support the A6. And with that, any discussion to the A6 or questions? Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You mentioned the most impact. Well, I would counter that by saying if we would get Palmer amaranth in this state, that would have a huge impact on the agriculture in Minnesota. And county ag inspectors do a great deal of work in that area of noxious weeds. So if we're talking about positive impact to agriculture here in the state, I would again strongly ask for support of this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the A6, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no.
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 The nays have it, and the A6 is not adopted. Next we have is the A7. Representative Burkle, to your A7.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. The A7 amendment would seek to solidify something that's kind of already happening with the Department of Ag, helping Minnesota farmers and ranchers install supplies or equipment that help prevent livestock disease outbreaks. Mine in particular would be $300,000 in the second year, protecting livestock grant program for producers to support installation of measures to prevent the transmission of specifically avian influenza. I think we've seen in the last few years, of course, what high-path avian influenza has done across the poultry industry, and now its move into the dairy industry. And I just think this is a good time to have that conversation about the mitigation strategies we put in place. I will say that given the fact that we're already midway through April and have had a minimal number, knock on wood, of high path breaks this year, I think biosecurity strategies have been working, and education of growers has really worked well. But this is another tool, and I'd really like to see this grant program move forward.
Thank you, Representative Burkle. I do recognize that this has good intentions, With the A7, it is definitely an emergent issue that we did talk briefly in committee with avian influenza. And I think already with the agri dollars that we allocated this year, MDA does have that flexibility to utilize those funds for the specific need. And if not already more than this even. And I believe the department is already doing that already to address the emerging issues of avian influenza. So I will ask that members to vote no to the A7. And any further discussion or questions to the A7? Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I understand your take on that. And understanding that this is being carved out of agri already, but I think, you know, to clarify and solidify what the program is trying to do, I really think it's important to make sure that we carve that those dollars out and make sure that they are allocated to avian influenza. I'm wondering if I could get Commissioner Peterson from the department up just for a second to kind of comment on the concept.
Welcome, Commissioner. Representative Burkle, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Peterson. Could you just kind of give us just a brief, quick overview of the program itself, what you've already done, and how doing this or focusing this program more on avian influenza could be helpful to mitigate high-path avian influenza in Minnesota?
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Burkle. And yeah, a couple of thoughts here, as we've been, hit pretty hard with avian influenza, especially the last couple of years with well over 100 cases 2 years ago, and then a pretty tough fall last year. This year, we've had a couple of backyard flocks, and then we had one commercial flock announced last week in Meeker County. And we may see that for a while where we don't have as many cases, knock on wood, in the spring, but then in the fall we could, just with the changing migration and the way the virus is, but we're learning a lot about it. And so I really give our staff a lot of credit for coming up with what we call the Protect Grant. And to be clear, that really came from a request from the turkey growers themselves in talking about, things that we could do or steps that we could do to help mitigate, the virus. And I think what was really interesting too is we get a lot of pressure from the USDA, because what happens when those barns are depopulated, the federal government does pay indemnity. And I do talk to the USDA, and they do get worried about the amount of dollars that we pay in indemnity. And I always remind them that Minnesota is, number one in turkeys, so we do have a lot just by nature of that. And then we also have a lot of water. And so it's interesting when you're attracting birds and water, and so the idea was to create a grant within Agri. And that's one thing I just appreciate, as you're always putting your budget, like flexibility in Agri does give us a chance to do things like that we can respond and come up with that. And our staff felt really strongly about that. And then also, with chronic wasting disease and deer farmers, having a September 1st deadline for fencing, and really trying to work to mitigate those two diseases so that we're working on that. So we opened the grant a couple of months ago. We just closed it, and we were able to it was a pretty good split between, I don't have the final numbers yet, but we can share that with the committee in the coming week or so when those numbers are final. But we split the money between and put an emphasis, keep in mind this was before dairy cattle, it was open for all species, but we really focused on poultry and on deer farming. But we also accepted, because we have African swine fever, which we could get any day. And now, and this is before we ended up with a dairy cattle situation with high path. So we ended up doing, I'd say probably around 30 grants, and those did focus on the lasers. And fencing and netting to keep wild birds out. And I think it's really interesting, because the farmers that are, and you've had testimony in the committee on this too, that it looks like the lasers are working very well. And so That is kind of the idea of that. And so, you know, we support continuing to work with this. If you do this, we appreciate that this is within AGRI and not outside of it, because it just helps us as we're dealing with that. But that's kind of the update on that program. Oh, one other thing I'd say is I've really been pushing the federal government on this, because as they push us on indemnity, you know, I'm also saying that Minnesota has taken steps then to do something proactive, you know, that other states are not don't have something like this, and other states are taking notice of this. And I think the federal government eventually, because we have a program like this, and we saw this with Wolf dollars too, we may be able to leverage federal dollars when the federal government looks at this, because they're saying, oh, this may be a good idea to help on the front end, help us avoid paying indemnity on the back end. So,
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Peterson, for that. And I appreciated your comments about being proactive. I think having a proactive solution to kind of minimize these high indemnity costs that the Commissioner just outlined, it's a solid investment to get ahead of high-path AI, especially in a state like he outlined, with all the water we have and all the birds we have. So minimizing those indemnity costs is really the goal of this program. And I think it's a smart investment. I know that the Senate's having the same conversations. I believe that probably shows up in their bill. But I really appreciate MDA's efforts this past year putting that together, and knowing that they are working on this now, and knowing that there is Senate language maybe in conference committee, this can be worked out. And with that, I'll withdraw the amendment, Madam Chair.
All right. The A7 is withdrawn. The next amendment that we have is the A8, Representative Anderson, to your A8.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, frankly, I'm surprised we're even here talking about amending the bill to address the situation that this A8 amendment hopefully will address. I picked up a sheet this morning, and it was a sheet promoting the AFRAC program, and there were nice pictures in color of our Ag Commissioner Peterson, President of the Minnesota Farmers Union, the President of the Minnesota Farm Bureau, the Extension Director at the University of Minnesota, and I believe the State President of the Corn Growers Association, all in support of the AFRAC program. And that's kind of a hall of fame, I would think, of support, statewide support for one program that we are in the process of dismantling and ending. I also find it amusing, not amusing, but fitting that DFL Governor Walz supports the AFRAC program and a five-year extension. I believe the Senate also supports the AFRAC program, so much so they are looking at a 10-year extension. What this bill does, Madam Chair, is extend the AFRAC program for a very modest 5 years. I feel that's a compromise. And we talked the other day that this is a farmer-funded program that provides research and education in an area where we are really trying to focus here in this state, and that is reduce levels of nitrate in water and such. And it just seems counterproductive that we would be ending this program in 1 year. And I feel strongly about this, and because of that, I'd like to request a roll call of this amendment, Madam Chair.
A roll call being requested. Further discussion to Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, Representative Anderson, it was interesting that I too saw a lot of advertising about AFRAC on social media. The ads seemed to increase the more that the discussion about having a fertilizer fee and changing AFRAC came. I hope those were not paid for from AFRAC, and I hope they were not paid for by the Promotion and Research Council, so that they would be paid for by the portion of the commodity groups that can pay for that type of advertising rather than those that are supposed to be doing the research. But certainly, I find it ironic after being here many years that this AFRAC was opposed when it was Representative Junkie started this. And I've I can remember a time when the GOP would propose sunsetting everything. We voted on those, have sunsets on everything. And this sunset is because we used to have sunsets on everything to consider whether it was still needed. Apparently we don't do that anymore. I've heard over the last few months how much this has worked, how much has been about water quality. And I want to make sure that's clear that the record that this is production research. Has been from the beginning, has been throughout. It's production research. It's about yield. It's about production. It's not about water quality. And even 5 years ago at the last extension, we tried to put water quality into it to say that it should focus on water quality, and that was opposed. I think it's really important to note that we represent people. We do not just represent groups. Our charge is to represent people, the people of Minnesota, and make those decisions for the people. And so whether we have the heads of organizations standing next to a commissioner as an endorsement of keeping a program, the choice is in front of us. And there needs to be some responsibility for paying for the consequences of the action, putting on fertilizer in many cases, depending on the soils, depending on the methods of application, depending on the timing, and depending on the rate, impacts people's groundwater. We know that. We've known it for 40 years. 40 cents a ton to pay for the consequence of that is not too much to ask. Not too much to ask to have some responsibility for paying for the consequences of the use for private profit. Farming is a business. When the public is asked to pay the externalized pollution costs all the time, there's no incentive for cleanup. I know those are not words that are often said in an ag committee, certainly not in other states, haven't been said here, but our world is changing. The costs keep coming up. We're going to spend millions of dollars this year of public money for cleanup costs, and the people who use the product that sometimes causes pollution needs to help pay for that cost.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I'm new here. This is only my second year of doing this job. I can't overstate how much I appreciate our partners in the executive branch and our partners in the Senate, but we have a job to do. We are the legislators. Our job is to make the laws and the executive branch to carry them out. And I think that that's been important for me to remember, because it's important for me to work in partnership across the aisle, across different branches of government, looking at what other states do. But I think in Minnesota, we can govern for ourselves, and this body, we get to make these decisions, and we get to have differing ideas and vote differently on things. That's actually a really healthy part of democracy. And the thing that's in the back of my mind is that the Federal Environmental Protection Agency said, Minnesota, do something. And at the end of this session, we have to report to them what we've done. And if it's not enough, it won't be in our hands. That will not be up to us. That will be up to federal EPA to tell us exactly what we need to do to protect the drinking water of farmers and rural people in the southeastern part of the state. And so although we have different ideas about how to do this, we've had different ideas on this side of the aisle, there's different ideas from your side of the aisle, we have to do something. Not doing anything and continuing the status quo is not enough to protect people, to protect babies and children and pregnant women. We have to do something. And I think we could be doing a lot more, and I hope that we can do a lot more, especially next year when it is a budget year, but our what we've been asked as a state to do from the federal government is to do something now. So I hope we can do as much as we can that has a more direct line to the people paying the fee to making sure those people can drink their water. So I am not in support of this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Jacob.
Well, thank you, Chair Vang. I think we should maybe reframe some of this. What's happened in Southeast Minnesota is not strictly an issue of farmers who intended to pollute. There's circumstances there with karst geology that doesn't exist elsewhere that probably, you know, parlayed into problems surfacing there. The farmers are certainly trying to do the right thing, care about the environment, and we've stated many times that could be that the pollution in the groundwater, nitrates in the groundwater, lags decades behind the application of nitrogen at the surface. So, and sitting beside Paul Anderson here, he is just an example of someone who truly cares, wants to do the right thing, and I know the rest of us on this side truly care and are not in any way trying to intentionally pollute. But in my view, what you call, I don't know what you call ending this 40-cent, you call it a sunset. I guess I would call it more of a disingenuous attempt to hijack the fund and use it somewhere else. So it should be noted for what it is. And it's very disheartening to sit here and have amendment after amendment after amendment shot down when we've got experts in the field. Mr. Burkle bringing up issues about avian flu, and he's a turkey farmer. I love the smirks. Myself dealing with the nitrate issue for the last 10 years on the Winona County Board. These are genuine attempts to try to make this bill better, to do the right thing for the environment. And this is just really frustrating to see. I'm sorry.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Purcell, you said we have to do something now. Well, this bill does not do that, because this bill doesn't end AFRAC for a year. So we won't do anything tomorrow if this bill is passed the way you want it to be passed. So to say let's do something now, to me, is a little bit hollow. And then we say, are we doing something? Have we had the commissioner up here or MPCA saying we need this additional $1.2 million to do something? They aren't asking for this. They've been silent. And to say that we're going to take this money from AFRAC and do the world a good thing, we're raiding a farmer-funded account. This is not state money. It is a farmer-funded account. And to suggest that there may be AFRAC money to pay for an ad, I take offense to that. I don't know. It was something I picked up on my desk. And to suggest that there somebody's using funds the wrong way to put out a paper with a picture of five ag people on it, I take offense to that. This is a program that agriculture supports. It is farmer funded. And this is the Ag Committee in the state of Minnesota. And again, I strongly ask the members of this committee to support this amendment and keep AFRAC as it is, funding the programs that it does for another 5 years. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Vang. I too support this amendment. I mean, this program was started years ago. And to me, it doesn't matter which party started it or who wanted to sunset it. I mean, the 40 cents is used for farmers' research to make our way life of better. And it's really disappointing that I my family will have to continue to pay this fee if this is what happens. And it's not directed towards the things that we do on the farm. And I understand the whole water issue. I mean, that's not a new problem by any stretch of the means. And government loves money, loves to take our money and start programs, and there's plenty of money out there that could have been used to start working on that. I mean, what was our surplus last year? Where did that go? Did any of that go to help people's water? And so it's just really frustrating to know that if this amendment isn't supported, that I'm gonna have to pay for things that I don't think is my responsibility. I mean, my funds that I pay for fertilizer will be siphoned off to another program. It's just unfortunate, and I'm very disappointed that that's the direction that we're going with this particular bill. Thank you.
Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to speak in support of this amendment as well, but I just want to frame it up. Chair Hansen had mentioned socializing the cost of pollution to some degree, and I just want to remind everyone that, yes, this AFREC account, which the governor supports, by the way, extending, helps us to use those resources responsibly and create the abundance that we all enjoy in this country and the state. And it's frustrating to hear the animosity in this room when we all agree that we want clean water. I would submit to the Democrats on the other side of the room that if you really felt that way, there wouldn't be a $730 million hole on the north side of our building right now, and we'd have directed that money where it should be. So to hear the antagonistic comments come across the aisle, from across the aisle in this important program and what it does to, you know, simply raise $1.2 million to help farmers do the right thing, and then do it well, to the point where we have the abundance we have, is disappointing. But I just encourage everyone to support this amendment. Thank you.
All right. I just want to thank members for your discussion. As I said in the beginning of session, that I'm open to hearing proposals of how can we address what the EPA has alerted us to do in the nitrate contamination in Southeast Minnesota. And we even had a hearing about having a clean AFREC bill. And I thought that was a pretty good hearing too as well. There were also other proposals that perhaps may conflict with the having extension of the AFREC council. But the question before me and before the committee is if we were to pursue extending AFREC, would it be enough? And I think the answer for me that has come to me is that no, I don't think it is enough if we continue the status quo of continuing AFREC. And I'm still open to having further discussion of what those proposals could look like, how we can repurpose AFREC. And I think we will continue those conversations with the Senate and perhaps on the floor too. And I'm not surprised if we continue to have these conversations into the next legislative session. So I will ask members for now to vote no on the A8 amendment. And seeing no further discussion, we will take roll call. Jared.
Chair Vang.
No.
Vice Chair Purcell.
No.
Reed Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Representative Burkle.
Burkle, aye.
Representative Cha.
No.
Representative Frederick.
No.
Representative Hansen.
No.
Representative Harder.
Aye.
Representative Jacob.
Jacob, yes.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Ream.
No.
Representative Sensormura.
No.
And Representative Happy.
No.
There are 5 ayes and 8 nays.
There being 5 ayes and 8 nays, the 8A The A8 amendment is not adopted. Next amendment is the A9, Representative Harder, with the A1 being adopted already. I believe it makes your amendment irrelevant. So would you like to redraw the A9?
Yes, you are correct, Irving, and I just want to thank you for your A1 amendment on this. So yes, it is withdrawn.
All right, the A9 is withdrawn. The next amendment we have is the A10. Representative Nelson, to your A10.
Thank you, Chair Vang, and I would like to move the A10. And you know, this is back to the soil health grants and the reimbursements parts of it. And on page 47, line 4 and 5, it's talking about selling the equipment. So if you've gotten a grant, you've bought some equipment, you wouldn't be able to sell it for more than the owners or lessees documented share the total purchase price. And this here, the language here would just say that it would be basically repaying the grant. And you know, I thank you, Representative Frederick, for you know really having this idea. And you know, I would just encourage its adoption.
All right. Further discussion. Representative Nelson. Oh, Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question about this. I don't know if this is to Representative Nelson or to the nonpartisan staff. Is there a fiscal element to this? Is there a way to know or have some kind of a sense for if this would have a whatever it's called, the opposite of a cost, if it would have a additional money coming in, perhaps from the savings? Thank you.
Mr. Savory?
Chair and members, from my understanding, these are general fund costs that have gone out as grants to purchase the equipment. If there were to be some sort of recapture mechanism, that would be coming back as general fund revenue. I don't, since this is an amendment, it hasn't been before the committee before, there's no fiscal note. But given the amount of dollars given out, it would be somewhat equal to the amount of the appropriation as exists in current law for this year, because I don't believe there would be an opportunity for this language to potentially reach back in the further years. It would be kind of moving forward, but it's kind of all I have to say about it at this time.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And would this be an issue for enforcement? I mean, I'm just thinking about this. I'll reiterate what I said, I think, on your A4, which, like, we want this equipment to be out there. We want more acres in these sort of practices. But is there I don't know how you envision a mechanism for accountability.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you for that. And I think it probably would take a bit of work. And I don't know if there's anyone from the department that could help answer this question. I mean, they would be the one that would be really tasked with really the oversight and the implementing of this. And I see there's somebody coming here.
I see Peter, if you can identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Peter Chesson, Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And as Representative Nelson mentioned earlier, we did communicate with him that we had some concerns about the language. A lot of the questions that you just asked, Representative Purcell, are questions that we would need to consider just in terms of implementation and enforcement if this language were to pass. We are more than willing, as with Representative Nelson's other amendment, to work with everyone moving forward. And finally, I'd just like to say if this were to move forward and pass, we'd like to make sure that it was crafted in a way that it wouldn't also have a chilling effect on the program. Because again, the program itself is to try to encourage more practices being adopted on the land.
Representative Purcell. Further discussion or questions to the amendment? Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding like how this would work. From what I heard from Mr. Savory, is that the grant money could go out. If the person then sells it, then they would have to pay whatever the grant amount was back, but then that wouldn't go to the same fund, that would go back to the general fund. Is that my understanding of how the money would move around?
Mr. Savory?
Chair and members, that would be my understanding. based on it is now, that there could be additional language, say this would be to adopt it. You could say all payments for this particular, all payments are directed to the general fund. You could clarify that in this language, but I think there would probably need to be some more clarification to make sure it got to where the author would be intended to go, or perhaps another member would intend for the money to be re-received.
Okay. Representative Nelson?
So I'm thankful for the discussion on this, and I have if the department could come up, I've got a question of the underlying, you know, of what we're, what the intent, the amendment is trying to amend. And so the underlying, so Commissioner, if you could, so currently on line 47.4 and 5, says if selling the equipment, to sell it for no more than the owner's or leaser's documented share of the total purchase price. And I understand and I appreciate where you're coming from with the A10 amendment on how do you implement, how do you police it, how does that happen? Is there, do you have some of the same issues with the underlying bill?
Hayter?
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, yeah, thank you for that question. We do have some concerns with just that 47.4 language as well. I mean, I think we testified earlier that it wouldn't be something that we couldn't figure out, but again, just need to flush out what that would look like, similar to your amendment, and just some of the details that have been discussed already in terms of where the money might go, would it return to the general fund, how we would implement and enforce it.
Representative Nelson.
And so thank you for that answer. And I think, you know, we want to make sure that we're being wise stewards of taxpayers' money. And I agree with that. And, you know, I do also agree that I think the amendment needs some work. And I see, you know, the underlying bill has some issues as well. And I think when we look at, you know, in the past, especially the past 4 years, what has happened with equipment prices and the inflation that has happened in it. You know, I was recently talking to an individual that had bought a piece of equipment. They used it 15 years, and they sold it for twice. You know, they just recently sold it for twice the amount that they purchased it for. As I see the underlying bill, you know, if somebody, you know, I don't see a sunset on this or anything of, you know, within 5 years of purchase date or anything. But what we have here is if that individual with the piece of equipment that they had bought used it for 15 years and then sold it for twice the purchase price, if they were to follow the statute, if they were trading it in on a piece of equipment at a dealership and they were using it as trade-in value, and the dealer said, well, we're gonna give you, we'll just say $10,000. You bought it for $5,000, and let's say we've got a real honest person here and said, you know what? According to the statute, I can only sell it for $5,000 because that's what it says right here. The dealer's going to put a smile on his face and say, I'll gladly give you $5,000 for a trade-in, and then he's going to sell it for his originally marked-up price of what he did. So who's going to benefit there? It's going to be the dealer. And so you know, I realize that my amendment probably needs some work, and I think the you know, the underlying language needs some work as well. I think there should be probably some sunsets, some things on that, and you know, I think you know, there is a little bit of work to do on this yet. So I would encourage a yes vote, and we can continue working on it.
All right, Representative Federick.
I just have a really quick question, because when you're talking about the value going up, I don't know the market, like the secondary market of some of this equipment. And I think that my fear with some of this would be that we invest X amount of dollars, somebody buys equipment, and a month later they will resell it at a higher price than two. And so then it just turns into a potential abuse of the idea just to make a profit. And I don't think that that's what you're going for. I don't think anyone's saying that that's what the point of any of this is, but I would say that if, because I'm open to the idea of them being able to sell it, and as long as they give back the money and working with this idea. But I would just want to make sure that some of those safeguards are in place too, so those abuses can't happen either.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Oh, just listening to Representative Frederick, if there's maybe like a window of time, like within the first 5 years or something like that, because I do think if you're owning a piece of equipment for 15 years, you're probably not remembering every single detail anyway of what you have signed on the dotted line for. Perhaps you've gotten enough value out of the equipment. So I'd be curious. I don't know what the right number is, but perhaps putting some kind of a time limit on could be something that I think would be important to discuss, whichever version of this ends up in our omnibus.
Representative Nelson.
I appreciate the conversation on this, and I thank you for that. And I don't know, I know with equipment purchase and you know, there's a depreciation schedule we have on the farm, and I don't know if fiscal, I'm not going to ask you if you're a tax professional, but I believe farm equipment, if I remember right off the top of my head, I think there's a 7-year depreciation on it, and I don't know if you have any knowledge on that or not, but I believe it's a 7-year depreciation schedule. There's different ways of expensing things, and it can, there's the tax code gets complicated, but I think if something, maybe we could look at a 5-year or maybe a 7-year window or something like that. I would appreciate continued conversation on this. I think the department is interested in it as well, and I will withdraw my amendment on your word of continuing to work with this, Chair Vang. And I hope that we can do this, and I think there's some underlying work that needs to be done to really do what is intended to be done with this language. I think it does a lot of great things. Our goal, I think, for everybody here is really improving, making it better than what we, when we leave it better than what we got here as. And so looking at that, I think there's a couple of things, and I would appreciate, working together with this and the department, and really trying to come to some language that is better about this.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a little bit late, being this is withdrawn, but I had a question. As long as Mr. Jessup is up at the witness testifier table, if somebody gets a grant to get a piece of equipment, does the state put a lien on it? And I was also going to ask on the soil health provision that was not heard during committee, that they have 2 years to become water quality certified. What if they don't? Is the state going to come out there and take this back again? How are we going to handle things like that? And it's a good point that was brought up by Representative Nelson.
Peter Chesett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Anderson. We do not put liens on our grants. Actually, I'm going to ask that my colleague, Brad Redland, come up here just to make sure I'm getting this correct, because there might be some other stipulation that we might put on these grants.
Welcome to the committee. If you can identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Brad Jordahl Redland, Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Program Manager for this. Short answer is no, we don't place a lien. The longer answer is that these grants are 100% reimbursement, so the entire financial transaction will have to have been final before they obtain the reimbursement, before the grant is active, before the grant funding is awarded to them. The purchase has to be all final and paid.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what you're saying is the farmer has to finance the entire purchase, and then the grant would be coming after that is all finalized, correct?
Brad?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative, that's correct.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So then at what point does that become the farmer's equipment to do with what he wants to do with it? When do the strings become unattached because he got a state grant? When can he trade that piece in, or when can he do custom work, or when can he sell it?
Brad?
Madam Chair, Representative, think that's driving the conversation today, because as it is right, I mean, this is, we're discussing language to address preventing them having full control over that equipment for resale.
Representative Anderson.
But if you don't place a lien on it, how can you do that legally?
Peter Chesorb.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Anderson, I don't think we have a full understanding of how we would do that legally. I think, again, that falls into the category of work that needs to be done on this particular provision.
Representative Anderson.
Well, I won't belabor the point, but when a farmer buys a piece of equipment, he signs a contract. And if that contract is paid in full, it becomes his equipment. And then you throw in the added component of getting a grant to help partially pay that. I think it's kind of a sticky wicket here. And Representative Nelson's bill, as he mentioned, needs some work, but it's something I think we need to look at to find out and determine when that actually becomes a farmer's own to do with what he wants to do with it. That's all I have to say.
All right. Further discussion? Thank you, Peter and Brad.
Thank you.
I think Representative Nelson.
I think, right. Thank you for the conversation. And I think, you know, thank you for the department, you know, and their, you know, kind of also explaining how the grant works. I think that that opens up a little bit more of a can of worms on all the points under here. So I would just appreciate some work going forward on this. I think there's definitely some issues before this sees the House floor. And I think if we can all commit to doing some work on it and really being responsible with public dollars, and also I think it's good things for the environment that we're doing, but at the same time, I think we need to be able to make it that the department can, that is workable for everybody. The department, the individuals doing the leasing of the equipment or the purchasing of the equipment, or however it is, and you know, I would just appreciate the continued work on this, and I think there is probably more issues after the department gave their testimony. So,
thank you, Representative Nelson. Yeah, I think you and I can both agree that the language needs further work, and that we will continue that discussion, perhaps maybe even into the next legislative session. I'm assuming you will withdraw the A-10? All right, so the A-10 is withdrawn. The next amendment we have is the A-11. This is Representative Purcell to your A-11.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, thank you, Madam Chair, for including this portion of my bill to direct the Department of Agriculture to look at what a future for carbon credits or ecosystem service credits, what that might look like, and if that were to make sense, perhaps, for the state to be involved in that. And my amendment is to be more prescriptive on who needs to be involved in those conversations.
All right. Further discussion? Questions to the A-11? Representative Harder?
Thank you, Chair Vang. Representative Purcell, I'm glad that you expanded that. I did send out an email about, do we know approximately what this might cost? I'm just curious if we have any kind of an idea what that would be.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Harder. I have been trying to track down that number. Mr. Cheseth is going to come and report, because he's one of the people I was persistently contacting asking that question. Thank you for coming up.
Peter Chesett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Harder. So we prepared a fiscal note for Representative Purcell's original bill that was quite involved. With just this amendment, approximately we're saying we could probably do what this amendment would charge us to do for $25,000.
Representative Harder.
That's all. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A-11 say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes have it, and the A-11 is adopted. The next amendment we have is the A12, Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me. The A12 has to do, again, with the cursed region of the state that we have been directed by the federal government that we need to be doing more on. So this is trying to, again, give more specificity and to match up with some of the language in the Senate about how to prioritize the water treatment funds that we are going to be providing of this one-time money.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A12 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it, and the A12 is adopted. The next amendment that we have is the A13. I believe this is Lead Anderson to the A13. Representative Anderson.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. The A13 is kind of the second bite at the apple here. We heard this earlier in committee, and since then there's been a lot of negotiation that's taken place. In fact, this latest iteration was agreed upon yesterday around noonish, and this is compromise language agreed upon with the Board of Animal Health that this amendment would give the state veterinarian the ability or the opportunity to allow, in this case, a zoo to provide them with documentation that they have met the standards to allow the safe transfer of several reindeer. In this case, looking at bringing a few in from the state of Washington, a state that's had no known CWD in recent years. And when this was heard earlier, the DNR was not my friend here, and they testified strongly against it. But it turns out they have no jurisdiction over the transport of reindeer. This falls solely under the purview of the Board of Animal Health and the state veterinarian. So again, this would not say they are or not going to import, but it would give them the opportunity to document the safety of bringing in some reindeer into Minnesota from the state of Washington. And Madam Chair, that's my amendment, and I would ask for your support.
All right. Further discussion. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson is correct. When we changed the law last year, it was for white-tailed deer only, with the authority being with the DNR. However, I think we should take the DNR's discussion into account, and that interstate transfer of cervids is a very strong opportunity for cross-contamination with chronic wasting disease. So I would be willing to continue to work with you on this. Zoos, like the Minnesota Zoo, is actually a jurisdiction of the Environment Committee. So if they were being imported into the zoo, and we've had some discussion with on moose and deer at the Minnesota Zoo, which is a state agency. So I think we just need a little more I'll work with you, but right now I'd say no. I'd ask people to vote no until we kind of see what's happening there with the Minnesota Zoo particularly, but I'd also want to check with Duluth and Como. So.
Representative Jacob.
Following this vote, I need...
Oh, your mic.
Following this vote, I need to be recognized.
Oh, okay. All right, seeing no further discussion on the A... Oh, Representative Anderson.
Just a final comment. I appreciate that, Representative Hansen. When I talked to the DNR about this in the last week or so, the lady who testified said she didn't even think they needed to have this legislation to do that, because the statute reads if they have had a CWD infestation within 5 years, and I don't think the state of Washington has had that infestation in the last 5 years. So some were saying we didn't even need it, but to be on the safe side, we worked with the Board of Animal Health, who does have jurisdiction here. But that's where it's at, Madam Chair, and again, I would encourage a yes vote.
All right. See no further discussion. All those in favor of the A13 say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
No. The noes have it, and the A13 is not adopted. There are Representative Purcell? Maybe Representative Jacob. Representative Jacob.
I'm looking back at the A12 Purcell amendment, and I've noticed that Winona County is missing from that 8-county area. So I'm wondering if we can reconsider that.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry I did not speak to that. That is not anything personal, despite what you might think. So I'm hoping that that could maybe be a technical correction, and so we don't have to do, because we don't do oral amendments, but the intention it is, it's the 8 counties of the CARS. Can we do an oral amendment?
Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members, my recommendation from a procedure standpoint would be to reconsider the vote to adopt the A12 amendment, and then an oral amendment could be offered to insert Winona after Wabasha on 1.6, and then the amendment could be readopted as amended.
Okay. I think that seems like a simple oral amendment. So I will move to reconsider the adoption of the A12 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. So we'll bring up the A12 amendment for reconsideration. Representative Jacob, would you like to do the oral amendment to the A12?
Sure. I will make a motion that we add Winona County after Olmsted to the A12 amendment.
Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair, that absolutely works. I think the revisor of statutes might reprimand me for not putting the counties in alphabetical order. So if it's okay with you, if on 1.6, delete the word or, and after Wabasha, insert comma or Winona. So Winona would be the last county on the list.
Sure. Did you want me to restate that?
Okay. Not unless the chair does.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that what Mr. Sullivan, I think we can all agree on then. All right. With that, the oral amendment to adopt the Winona as stated by Mr. Sullivan. All those in any discussion? Representative Purcell?
Madam Chair, I take this as a friendly amendment and thank you.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The oral amendment is adopted. And I believe the next procedural motion will be to adopt the A12 amendment as amended. Correct. Okay. Representative Purcell, would you like to make that motion?
I appreciate all of your support. Again, even better that we have included Winona County.
All right. All those in favor of adopting the A12 amendment as amended by oral amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The A12 as amendment, the A12 as amended is adopted. All right. I believe that is all the amendments, and reconsideration of any other amendments has been done. And so seeing no further amendments on the table, we will now move to discussion on the motion to move the DE1 amendment as amendment, as amended. As amended, right? Okay, so apologies, a lot of procedural votes. So we'll now vote on the DE1 amendment as amended. Discussion, this is not the final vote on the bill, so we'll do discussion and then I'll renew the motion to move it to Ways and Means. So this is only the vote on adopting the DE1 amendment as amended. Discussion to the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed say no.
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 The ayes have it, and the DE1 as amended is adopted. So we'll move. So we now have House File 3763 as amended before us. Is there any final discussion of the bill? Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair Vane. I think that my question is going to be, the department might need to answer this one. So On our fiscal analysis, we have the translate of certified applicator test to Spanish, and they have $900,000 for 2 years. Do they believe that it will take $1,800 or 1.8 to do the translating? Does the department know?
I do see someone approaching the table. Welcome to the committee. If you can identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, Joshua Stamper, Division Director of Pesticide and Fertilizer Management Division in the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. $900 was the amount that we had put together for the original fiscal note, and that is a comprehensive approach to not just, you know, the original language included was very broad and sweeping. This has been dialed back to just the costs associated with translating exams. With the language that we see right now, it would not allow for non-commercial or private applicator testing. It would just be for commercial applicator testing, and it would be significantly less than that, probably less than $50,000.
Representative Harder.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, is it less than $50,000? Okay, I got lost somewhere in that translation.
Director Josh?
What? Is that what I heard was $50,000?
Less than $50,000 to just translate the exams.
Okay. All right, I just wanted clarification on that. Thank you.
All right. Representative Jacob.
Well, thank you, Chair Vang. There's been plenty of discussion last few months about high nitrates in southeast Minnesota, and of course $3 million here going into that issue. Certainly I would want to reiterate that it's a really a threefold problem: karstology, substandard wells, and nitrogen application to the soil. The solutions that have been brought forward have focused on the symptoms and money for those symptoms. I had brought forward a bill, of course, that would, how do we deal with the nitrogen going onto the ground and how do we manage that? So frustrating to me that we use the terminology make polluters pay, when these farmers in the 1970s and 1980s were simply trying to do the best thing that they could to provide a valuable service to the community, good, safe products at reasonable prices. And they had no idea about karstology back then when that was going on. So very frustrating to sit here in this very large city and after a heavy rain, watch what flushes through these storm sewers, the amount of salt and everything that comes off the automobiles, the tire scrub, everything being flushed into our rivers. We turn a blind eye to all that, and we focus very closely on whether we're at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 parts per million of nitrogen in the ground, and who are we going to blame for it, and how are we going to penalize them? So I have a hard time understanding how we can have $730 million for the building we're building next door, and we know that this is such an important issue to the state that there's been a petition brought forward, and we spent a lot of time on it, but not $1 million for a program that I brought forward to actually put a program on the ground that would not only help deal with nitrogen issues, but any other pesticide runoff or actual stabilization of the soil, dirt itself leaving the ground. I'm just very disappointed. I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of the finer points. It was on Mr. Stamper's when he was here, if he could come back for just a moment.
Welcome back, Director Stanford. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Stanford. So the exams are for the Category A of the core manual, and then each of the different categories. We're not doing the training manuals for changing into Spanish language, but we're going to be doing the exams for each category that any applicator who has to take those exams would take. Is that correct?
Director Josh?
Madam Chair, Chair Hansen, that is correct. It would just cover the commercial exams for the core and then the 18 or 19 different categories that would associate with the core.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Director Stamper, so that the exams are under the authority of the agency rather than the university, so you are hiring somebody or you're going to contract for that translation service?
Director Josh?
Madam Chair, Chair Hansen, that is correct. We would use an existing state contract to translate those exams.
Representative Hansen.
And thank you. And then I have a question for Mr. Redlin.
Welcome back to the committee. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with the contracts, you mentioned the contracts for the equipment. And so we have parallel language, and my purpose for asking this question, we have parallel language with the Board of Water and Soil Resources for trying to put some of the, for lack of a better term, the taxpayer protection. So if we have to make changes here, we also will need to make them in my bill. So the with the Board of Water and Soil Resources or Soil and Water Conservation District cost share, there has to be a contract between the land, the farmer and the local Soil and Water Conservation District. They sign that contract, they implement the practice like a grass waterway, and then they come back in, show the receipts, and get paid. So is there something where if they're buying the equipment and it's a reimbursement basis, are they signing a contract to use that for conservation purposes for X number of years, and then they get paid?
Mr. Redlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Hansen. So the process is that the purchase is made and final so that we know the appropriate amount to provide them in funding for the grant so that they don't get any extra or anything like that. Then we do have a structure in place, 90-10, 90% of the funds are provided upon our receipt of the documented purchase price and invoice, et cetera, so we know the precise amount. And then 10% is withheld for 1 year's reporting on the use of that equipment. So that's the way we're structured right now.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you. It's a good bill we have in front of us. I encourage a yes vote.
All right. Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I've already voiced my frustrations about the AFREC. I'm going to just get a little more local, and I know, Chair Vang, we've had discussions, and you've been very receptive, and I appreciate the positive comments we've had about the elk situation in my district. We heard the environment bill yesterday and the proposed changes to the DNR's elk management plan. Language that I find troubling without a corresponding conversation about depredation. I'd call the department up, but I think we all know, it's been said many times, but the depredation numbers have been climbing in Kitson County in particular. Also knowing the DNR has an interest and in concern about the genetic diversity of the elk herd up there. And as the conversation turns towards moving those elk or some of those elk up to Fond du Lac. Understanding the DNR's concerns there, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page that as this elk management plan changes, we continue to be receptive to the idea that we're going to have to compensate farmers who are damaged by that. But I know you know that. I'm not expecting you to comment. We've had that conversation. I appreciate how receptive you've been to that. Other than that, just in the big picture, I mentioned abundance in my comments about AFREC, and I'm going to reframe that again. It's it's frustrating to see that this bill really is just funding a small subset of farmers while ignoring the farmers who really are responsible for providing the vast majority of Minnesota's ag products, and in a very responsible way, I'd say. I think we all have the same goals in mind, and it's just, it's disappointing to hear to see the conversation devolve into an us versus them thing. I don't think that's where we should be. So with that, I'm just going to say that I'll be voting no on the bill, mainly because of the AFRAC provisions in there, and I'm hoping that we can see that change before it comes back. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me. Just a couple of general comments, and then I'll speak to the bill as a whole. My experience with state grants, not just with the Department of Agriculture, but all the different departments when I was at a nonprofit, they're all reimbursed. And as Mr. Jordahl Redland said about that, you get the 90%, and then you sometimes have to wait a full year to get that final 10%. So that's a methodology that I'm very familiar with at the nonprofit when we would partner with the state on things. So if that is helpful in the discussion around how we structure some of these programs and payment, I have some experience from the other side of the table, so just to offer that. And then I think to Representative Jacob, when you know about water issues, like probably all of us around this table and a lot of people in this room, you can't unsee those things. So I have a similarly very difficult time when I see the amount of salt on our paved roads and in the cities. Chloride pollution is a huge issue. And cities of 10,000 or more, or 5,000 or more, if they're on an impaired waterway, must have an MS3 permit. So it's difficult to regulate, just like it's difficult to regulate agricultural pollution. I know that my colleagues who are doing clean water work in the metro area, chloride was like their top thing to try to work on, and that's just not the top issue in our part of the world. So I don't think it has to be an us versus them. I don't think it has to be a we'll do our part if you do your part. It's like we all need to do our part, and I don't know what it would look like if the EPA decides that we have not done enough, but I feel it's going to be a much heavier hand than some of these discussions that we're having here. My comments to the bill overall, I'm really proud of this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your out-of-the-box thinking, for your forward thinking. I think this really, in a non-budget year with a very small target again, we were able to do quite a lot last year, again with a tiny target. And I think looking towards the future, looking at the tails, looking at what we are and are not able to do with one-time money and needing to address so many things. We could have infinite number of dollars and still not get enough done. But thank you for listening to all of us and taking all of our ideas into account. And thank you for this bill.
Representative Cha.
Thank you, Chair, for this bill, and thanks to the committee. I believe this might be the last time we'll be meeting for this session, correct?
Yes, this will be the final Agriculture Committee hearing.
Right. And so I just want to thank the members of this committee and the staff for the hard work that we've all put in. You know, as a first-term legislator, this is one of the committees I chose to be on, and I've been honored and have the privilege to be in this committee with all of you. There are some good things in this bill, and there are some things that we need to work on. You know, when I heard of the nitrate problem in southeastern Minnesota, I went to research and to understand the karst region and how nitrate travels through soil. And it's quite interesting that it is what Representative Jacob said, that it could have been a problem that is just resurfacing after 50 years, where sometimes nitrate travels 12 yards per hour, sometimes it travels 12 yards per year. We don't know that exact science. And so I hope that we can find better solutions for our farmers and families in southeastern Minnesota. But I want to leave us with something with what Representative Nelson said. and he said that he likes to leave it better than the way we found it. You know, and as a farmer and a former rancher, as a Minnesotan, you know, I like to say that I want to leave this committee and I want to leave this industry better than we found it, just like the land that I've tried to preserve and the efforts I've made to those preservation for the next generation. And so it's not a goodbye speech because I think I'll be back, but you never know. And it's been an honor. So thank you so much for the hard work, and I appreciate the dialogue we've had. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I too want to thank the members of the committee. Although I do have to say, the years I've been here, this Ag Committee has become more partisan as we've gone along, and I feel bad about that. It was mentioned earlier, you know, I think this bill does not do a lot for what I call production agriculture, and I'm proud that this state is a powerhouse. Looked up some numbers. In 2022, this state produced $26 billion. That's $1 billion in ag sales. We're number five in the nation in agriculture production. Number one in turkeys, number two in hog production, sugar beets, sweet corn. This state does a heck of a job. And I think this bill concentrates on a small set of farmers. And in fact, I think it hurts production farmers that are supportive of the AGREET program, and that if this bill stands the way it is, it's going to be eliminated in a year. I think that's not a good thing. But the other last thing I'll say, Madam Chair, is I talked about this the other day, the confusion with all of the definitions that are in the bill. We have emerging farmers replaced with applicants experiencing limited land access and market access, but yet they can't sell together, they can't combine and sell together at a market. It has to be individually selling. Then the beginning farmer equipment infrastructure program, the LEAF program, again, definitions of who qualifies are different. And then the other thing is in the down payment assistance program in your bill, you have that $100,000 is the maximum that one can earn in ag production and qualify for the program, but yet the underlying statute says $250,000 would be the limit. So I think there's a bit of a contradiction in the numbers in the down payment assistance program. And those things could be worked on and corrected. But again, mainly because, and I do want to say thank you for not raiding the grain indemnity program. Thank you for that. But because of mainly the cessation of the AFRAC program, I will be voting against the bill. And with that, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. I just want to thank you to all committee members for your participation and discussion this year, especially for in the forming of this omnibus. I want to thank you all to all the stakeholders, community organizations, and officials in the department for your input and contributions during this committee process, and your willingness to be fluid as we addressed emerging issues in agriculture. Since the end of last session, it's been my top priority to keep Agri whole before pre-2023 sunset appropriations, and we were able to do that this year with $2.6 million in the tails. And over the interim, the EPA alerted state agencies to address the contamination of nitrates in southeast Minnesota, and we spent multiple hearings on proposals that the legislature can look at to address both the short-term immediate needs for families who currently don't have access to clean water and the long-term need of lowering contamination in high-risk areas of the state. As I've said in the beginning of session, that I am open to hearing policy solutions because I myself don't have them. And so I will need all members and stakeholders to help us as we address this, and that has been the process throughout committee this year. And I want to thank you to all the members who provided their own input in the process as well. We do have a small supplemental budget as expected this year, but they will be impactful for the future of direction of the state from soil health to emerging farmers. And so with that, I will renew my motion for House File 3763 as amended, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no.
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 The ayes have it. The motion prevails, and House File 3763 as amended is referred to the Ways and Means Committee. And I will direct nonpartisan staff to make any technical corrections as needed. And with that, I just want to say final thank yous to staff here and from nonpartisan staff to partisan staff. Thank you all for your hard work on this year's session. You guys are truly the A-team, and so much respect to you all. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.